Support for NPR podcasts comes from A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the mid-90s, when Bill Clinton looked to reform American healthcare, American business swung in with a vengeance to help kill the initiative. Now, with healthcare costs threatening to swamp major corporations, some big business is singing a different tune. In California, Fortune 500 business leaders are shouting crisis and pushing Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to insure everyone quick. From Sacramento to Michigan's GM to Massachusetts and beyond, the business heat is on. Up next on Point, man bites dog. Big business shouts health care emergency and begs for change. Joining me first today from Sacramento, California, is Jordan Rao, reporter for the Los Angeles Times, covering California politics and this latest push. Jordan Rao, thanks for being here.
Hi, Tom.
So who's pushing for what in the business community there?
Well, right now there's a bit of a split in that the larger businesses that have long been providing health care to their employees have become so frustrated with increasing premiums and costs that they have decided, or at least a group of them have decided, that the government's got to do something and step in.
Right.
That's pretty significant because, at least in California, where we have Governor Schwarzenegger's proposed something similar to what you have in Massachusetts with an individual mandate requiring everyone to obtain insurance, just like they have for auto insurance, we've had battles in the past in which proposals for expanded health care have been blocked, and it's been largely the business community. So this has the potential of dividing them. Small businesses are still very, very reluctant and uncomfortable to have government mandates, but the larger businesses are increasingly saying, well, we already provide health care. We need to do something larger beyond what we're capable of doing to control costs.
And with that, the heat is on Schwarzenegger, Republican, Democratic, of course, state legislature, and now big business, at least, in the corner of some kind of change toward universal health care coverage in California. Jordan, listen with me for just a moment, if you would. Here's last week, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger saying California is facing a crisis of uninsured citizens and overburdened businesses.
We have a disastrous health care system. It is broken. I mean, we have 6.5 million people that are uninsured. We have people that have to live in fear because those that have insurance have to worry always about losing their insurance policy. Those that don't have insurance have to worry about never getting it because of maybe age or some medical history that they have. So all of those things, we have companies that are paying $14.7 billion in a hidden tax. I mean, their health care costs are going up in double-digit numbers. So we have all of those problems. We want to basically solve those problems.
There's Governor Schwarzenegger of California saying we've got to do something. Big business, some of it, swinging in behind to say, yes, that's right. Jordan, give us a sense of who's in this coalition of 36 very big companies.
Well, this coalition was put together by Steve Bird, who's the CEO of Safeway.
The giant grocery chain.
Exactly. And a lot of the people, actually, that he's recruited are Safeway vendors like Heinz and Del Monte, people that sell stuff.
We're going to talk with one of those from Bumblebee Seafoods. Maybe the arm is on there, but they're not all on his shelves.
No, not all of them. And I guess if the ones that didn't join the coalition are going to probably find themselves, you know, behind the cat litter in aisle 29.
Right.
But there's also a lot of healthcare insurers. Blue Shield of California is a big one. Aetna. Cigna Healthcare, and those are obviously all companies that would probably profit very well if everyone was required to get health insurance.
Pacific Gas and Electric also on there, Eli Lilly and Co. What is this group pushing for? Have they said exactly what it is they want?
Actually, they've been a lot more specific than a lot of the coalitions that have formed out here. They want an individual mandate, which we've discussed and which you guys are going to have kick in July.
That is Massachusetts. That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they also want subsidies for the poor, which is pretty important if you're going to require everyone to have the insurance. Those are the two key components. You know, the other thing, Steve Bird is really into financial incentives for workers to do better in terms of getting preventative care and managing chronic illnesses like diabetes. So that's a big component of their parts. But it's really the individual mandate that I think is the biggest deal, because there are a lot of people that in California and nationally that have focused on an employer mandate, which is you require the employers to provide health care.
Individual mandate meaning you, California citizen, are going to be required by law to have health insurance. If you can't afford it, we'll help you, but you're going to have it, and you're going to have to pay something.
That's exactly right. And so, and this is a convenient position for businesses to take as well, because this takes a lot of the onus off of them. They're not the ones that have to provide the health care. And one of the interesting things about this is that there's a big debate about whether, you know, we should have businesses being the primary provider or intermediary for health care. And this is the type of thing that would actually allow it to segue off of businesses to direct relationship between individuals and insurers. So, you know, they can do very well under this. And so it is, to some extent, a self-serving plan.
It may be offloading responsibility for health care. Steve Byrd making a big business case for this in his announcement yesterday, saying at the current growth rate, health care costs will be 25% of the U.S. gross domestic product by 2012. By next year, he says, the average Fortune 500 firm will have a health care bill that exceeds its net income. 47 million Americans living and raising families without health insurance. He's saying we've got to have reform before 2009 or what, Jordan Rao?
That bumblebee can of tuna is going to become very expensive because the health care costs would end up having to filter down to businesses. Basically, the business argument is that the cost of health care is so large that it's significantly crimping their ability to compete, and particularly to compete internationally. So the argument, which, you know, has, I think, pretty much everyone agrees on, is that if healthcare costs aren't contained and continue to rise, it's going to have a pretty devastating effect on the economy.
Why is Steve Byrd, a grocer, so concerned about that? He's not competing internationally. He's right there in California and many other states around the country here in the USA.
Yeah, that's actually a great question, Tom. Well, one of the things is that one of Steve Byrd's competitors is Walmart, which does not provide as good health care. So actually, he would get a competitive advantage to, or remove, rather, a competitive disadvantage if there was some sort of leveling of the playing field. But beyond that, I think that he actually does have a personal interest in it. He's very proud of what he's done with Safeway and with workers, and they have been able to lower the Safeway health care costs by some of the innovations that he's put in. And so, you know, I think that this is one of the times where it's not just about the corporate bottom line. He wants to be a policy leader.
We're fascinated, and yet we've learned to be skeptical at the same time. Some unions very skeptical and critical of Steve Byrd and Safeway in particular, saying, in fact, what they've done is forced deals down their throats that pushed health care coverage out for new employees and their families.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The unions for Safeway have given Steve Byrd the Hypocrite Award. And basically there was a strike in, I think, 2003. And as a result of the strike, they have a two-tiered health care system. So if you're a salaried employee or a manager, you get health care. But if you're an hourly employee at Safeway, you have to wait a year, and your relatives have to wait 30 months before you are eligible for health care. So, I mean, Byrd would argue that, you know, that it's just a financial, again, his bottom line is this is another reason that you need significant health care reform, because it's such a financial burden on businesses. But obviously, union people and a lot of other things, you know, he's talking the talk but not walking it.
Right. Watch out. Steve, walk us through, if you would, the principles they've laid out here, because it gives us a sense of what this particular business coalition is looking for. They've got sort of five core principles here, and it starts with market forces, saying it must be driven by market forces, meaning they don't want what?
Well, they obviously don't want single payer, which is the elimination of private insurers and just having a government-run system like in Canada and a lot of European countries. So that's a major part of it. But the flip part of it is, and this is an idea that a lot of people believe, that there needs to be more transparency in the healthcare system, because without that you can't have competition, that people need to know how much your MRI costs.
So right.
They can say, you know what, I don't want to have a $500 MRI from this place if this other place is offering it for $300.
They want Americans required to have health insurance. They want assistance for low-income Americans who might need it. They want requirements essentially about behavior here, saying there should be personal financial incentives for adopting healthy behaviors and disincentives for poor behavior. What are we talking about there, Jordan?
Well, we're talking about, to a large extent, preventative care, setting up insurance systems where people are encouraged to go and get treatment before they get really sick. That's obviously a big problem with the uninsured.
But is it also business saying, slim down, you there, employee, stop smoking, get on the treadmill? Is it getting into that level of requirement of citizens?
It might, in the terms of premium discounts. It's possible. I mean, you know, these are our principles laid out, so they're not specific. They're not legislative language. But it is definitely possible that this type of thing would push for premium discounts if you're in good shape or if you go and get, you know, you get in better shape. But, you know, it's just not clear exactly what
right.
they mean.
And finally, Jordan, what about Arnold Schwarzenegger in the middle of all this? How do you read the politics and his motivation in pushing with business for this kind of health care reform?
Well, he has set this as his top priority this year, and this coalition is a big boost for him because his push has basically been stalled in the legislature. The Republicans don't like it because they don't like the mandate, as well as he's got a lot of requirements on businesses, and he also has fees on doctors and hospitals to pay for those subsidies that are necessary if you require everyone to have insurance. And the Democrats are uncomfortable with the individual mandate as well. So, you know, it really hasn't moved anywhere in the last couple of months.
Jordan Rao, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob.
We're talking this hour about big business voices now pushing for health care reform in California. 36 big businesses stepping up yesterday to say, yes, we want what Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is promoting, that is, health care coverage required for everyone, required individually. Talking to the AARP last week, Schwarzenegger made the business case for health care reform. Let's listen.
We see more and more companies that are stopping to provide their employees with health care. And the reason is because the health care costs are going up at double-digit numbers. So we have had meetings and roundtable discussions with business executives that have shown us that they have had increases of 20, 25%, sometimes 30% a year. Now, when you have an increase of health care costs of 30% a year, how do you pass that 30% on to the product that you sell? You can't, because then you're not any more competitive and you're pricing yourself out of the market. So they had to make a choice. Do they want to close down the business or get rid of and stop insuring the people? All because of the health care costs are rising astronomically. And this is why we have to stop that madness. It's totally out of control.
Totally out of control, says Arnold Schwarzenegger. He wants to do something about it in California. Massachusetts has already taken a similar step. Business now stepping up to Schwarzenegger's side. For perspective here, I want to turn to Washington and Henry Aaron, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He's the author of Can We Say No? The Challenge of Rationing Healthcare. Henry Aaron, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be with you this morning.
And with us from San Diego, Christopher Lechewski. He's president and CEO of Bumblebee Foods, which has signed on to the Coalition to Advance Healthcare Reform in California. Christopher Lechewski, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So first to you, Mr. CEO of Bumblebee, why are you on this list? Did Safeway just put the arm on you and say if you want to be ahead of, you know, the rest of the tuna crowd, you've got to sign on? Or do you see a real interest in this kind of reform in your state?
Yeah, no, Tom. There was no arm put on us. And, you know, Bumblebee is the last domestic producer in the United States of tuna, sardines, clams. We're a major buyer of American salmon. And the problem for us is really one of competition. I mean, if you look at what's happening with health care costs, as the governor said, they've truly spiraled out of control. We're growing double-digit rates on health care, and we're competing, virtually all the products competing against us in the grocery store coming from countries in Southeast Asia and Latin America where they don't pay fair wages, where they don't have health care programs, and it gives them an unfair competitive advantage in coming into the United States. While we don't agree with every aspect of Schwarzenegger's bill, we do agree with universal insurance. And at the same time, what we really like is trying to tie our health care programs to healthy living standards, where we really focus on prevention rather than, you know, just paying a lot of medical benefits at the end when disease has taken foot. So we like a lot of components of the program. And again, what we support is a market-based system, because we do believe when private enterprise gets involved, we can generally come up with solutions that work for everyone, rather than sometimes governments getting involved where it becomes one compromise upon another and it becomes a non-workable solution.
All right, let's look at this. Henry Aaron, is this it? Is this the sound of the dam breaking, American business rushing in to say, yes, indeed, we need reform, and off we go? Is this the golden future opening up?
I think the business getting into this fray is a good sign. I would say it's about time. They've had an interest for a long time. But reform's not going to happen overnight. It's certainly not going to happen here in Washington. There is really no sign yet of a consensus emerging. What may happen, and what is a very good sign, is the movement in a large number of states, Massachusetts, where you're broadcasting from,
yes.
California,
mm-hmm.
where Bumblebee Tuna is located, and where Governor Schwarzenegger has a very imaginative proposal. They're not alone. The governors of Pennsylvania, Illinois, a number of other states are trying to move ahead. There's a tendency sometimes to think if it doesn't happen in Washington, it hasn't happened for the United States. The truth is that most public services are provided at the state and local level, and the states are getting into this fray.
But take us to what's being pushed here. Does it line up with, I mean, you consider this from kind of Mount Olympus there. Does this line up with some kind of ideal of health reform? Market forces, Christopher Leshefsky and his crew say, individual responsibility, we're going to get in there on individual behavior and how they take care of themselves and get preventive care. Is this an outline that a sort of health care, I don't know, wizard would design, or is this somehow business loaded? Is it dumping it on the individual?
One of the reasons I said things are not going to happen quickly is that the views that were expressed about business and the private sector getting into this happens to be one widely held view, but by no means a majority view. There are at least three or four different approaches to healthcare reform, which have been around for decades, which different groups continue to believe each is the best approach. And as one of my friends observed, the status quo is everybody's second choice. So the result is that people fight for what they want.
Right.
And if they can't get it, they'd prefer to stay where we are.
And we get the status quo. Christopher Leshefsky, you're the Bumblebee CEO. Are you trying to run away from healthcare responsibility here, dump it on your employees? Jordan Rao from the LA Times was saying that's one level of sort of grumble underneath this conversation. What do you say?
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair statement at all. We do provide healthcare benefits for all of our employees today. What our challenge is that we're seeing double-digit increases every year, and yet I can't say that the quality of healthcare is going up to match the increase in cost. So we're really trying to come up with a system that works for American business, but also for all of our folks, not just companies. And again, you know, we pay the bulk of the insurance, but clearly our employees also are forced to pay a portion of the cost. And when you look at the system today, when there's such a large amount of uninsured people that go to the emergency room to get benefits, we're paying and our employees are all paying the cost of that. We think there's a much better system that can be implemented, and I'm not saying that we've created the perfect system here, but I think it's a start, and I think working together with governments, we do believe there's a solution. You know, we don't want to see socialized medicine. We don't want to see some of the programs other countries have adopted, because at the end of the day, you know, I think the health care would get even worse. We do have great health care opportunities here in the U.S., and the services are good. It's just we've got to figure out how to control cost and, again, make it more fair across the entire universe of the population rather than just working people and companies that today are bearing the majority of the cost.
Chris Leshefsky, Henry Aaron, let's hear from our listeners for a moment. Bob's calling from Little River, South Carolina. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, I feel like Hillary Clinton's painstakingly commissioned the development the last proposal on a national health control service, which was not, by the way, socialized medicine as touted by the healthcare industry. It was forming large groups from states to consolidate their membership and bring down the cost.
But you say, what, you want to go back to that? But that went down in flames. It went nowhere.
Well, that went down in flames because it was unjustly criticized by the healthcare industry, who sold Congress on their feelings, and it was done incorrectly, and it should be corrected and re-advertised and passed.
So raise that banner again, keep Harry and Louise and the PR campaign out of it. Bob, thanks for your call. Chris Leshefsky in San Diego. What about it? Back to the future, back to Hillary Clinton's plan as a solution to the crisis you're facing?
Tom, I can't say I'm enough of an expert to be able to go through and dissect Senator Clinton's plan. I think we've kind of stepped back from all of that, and we've tried to create a plan from a business standpoint that we believe supports, you know, our employees and basically ensures that we can be competitive long term. So I'm probably not qualified to comment on that.
Chris Leshefsky, it's great having you. Before I let you go, just what's your thought here? Are you going to be able to push this through? You've got opposition in business also. The Chamber of Commerce has not come down on your side out there yet. Small business not in favor of this. Can you get it over the hump with Governor Schwarzenegger?
I think it's a process, and I don't think anything's going to happen extremely quickly, but I think something like this is going to start building momentum because we clearly need to find a solution. And I think what we're doing is starting collaboration between industry and government, and I do believe that will ultimately lead to a solution to the problem. It may take a few years, but I think we're starting to move in the right direction.
Christopher Leshefsky joining us from San Diego, president and CEO of Bumblebee Foods, one of the 36 companies coming out yesterday for the Coalition to Advance Healthcare Reform, the last, he says, American producer, big producer of tuna, clams, and all the rest. Mr. Leshefsky, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Let's hear the voice for just a moment here of Senator Barack Obama, of course, campaigning for president. He was in Detroit yesterday answering U.S. automakers' calls for relief on health care costs with a proposal, a kind of bargain of his own. You build more fuel-efficient cars, we'll help you out on health care.
This approach would also strike a bargain with the automakers on one of the biggest costs they face. We've heard for years that the spiraling cost of health care for retired auto workers constrains manufacturers from investing in more fuel-efficient technology. We also know the statistic. Healthcare costs currently account for $1,500 of every GM car. So here's the deal. We'll help to partially defray those healthcare costs, but only if the manufacturers are willing to invest the savings right back into the production of more fuel-efficient cars and trucks.
There it is on yet another front. Barack Obama saying, we'll help you out, but we want fuel efficiency. Of course, Detroit calling very loudly there for some kind of relief on the health care front. I want to welcome into our conversation right now from Washington, Ed Gillespie, founder and co-chairman of Quinn Gillespie & Associates, a public affairs firm working together with California's Coalition to Advance Health Care Reform on this push. He's former chairman of the Republican National Committee. Ed Gillespie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
So what's up with Republicans and big business jumping on the health care reform bandwagon?
Well, health care reform, I believe, is the most important domestic policy issue facing the country today. And the costs, as were mentioned earlier, are spiraling out of control. And we're looking at health care costs consuming one out of every $5 by 2012 in our economy. And it's increasingly difficult for employers to provide the coverage that they want to provide. This coalition is comprised of major employers who provide health care to their workers and want to continue doing that. The fact is we have to have some policies that make it easier for them to be able to do so and make it easier for individuals to obtain coverage, regardless of their employer. You know, the employer-provided health care benefit goes back to wage and price controls around World War II, and they were a way to attract employers while living under the wage control cap. That was a time when you came out of high school or college, you might be with the same company for 40 years, stay in the same, mm-hmm. not the same job, but with the same company. People today, they change employers 8, 9, 10 times in the course of a career, and we have to have a health care coverage system that reflects that economic reality.
Mm. Ed Gillespie, what do you say to critics who fear or are skeptical? And they say, well, wait a minute, maybe this is just big business trying to run away from the responsibility that it has carried for health care coverage.
It's not. I mean, you just have to look at the folks who are involved. Steve Bird, the chairman, the CEO of Safeway Corp, has been a leader in this effort for a long time and is as knowledgeable on the impact of health care costs on his employees as well as his company, where he has fiduciary responsibility, as anyone I've ever seen. And he cares very much about the quality of their care and the coverage that they get, and wants to incentivize things that would help prevent acute care, paying for screening for breast cancer and for prostate cancer, and these are very positive approaches to providing health care for employees. At the same time, advocating that the employee should have the same benefit of the tax deduction that the employer has. And I think that's an important policy prescription that that matters here. It's also
that is big business or business gets a tax write-off for providing it. Give that to the individual as well.
Equal tax treatment for the employee as well as the employer. So I, as an employer in my firm, get a tax break, tax relief for the coverage that is provided to my employees.
Yeah.
The individual should have the same benefit of that kind of tax relief if he or she wants to pursue their own health care.
Henry Aaron, help us out here. Put yourself in the role of the little guy for a minute watching this debate. I mean, you've pointed out, the perfect may be the enemy of the good here. If nobody's willing to take their second choice, we don't get any change. But what about the fear that this is, at the end of the day, could be a shifting of responsibility from business to the individual, and then good luck to you, mister?
Let me stand back for a second and try to recast this a bit. Mm-hmm. In the end, health care is paid for. If people receive their health insurance at work, they end up paying for their health insurance. Why? The employer may write the check, but any employer figures out how much they can pay to hire a worker. And if they pay it in health insurance, they don't pay it in wages. So the burden for rising health care spending is not falling on profits. It is falling on workers who experience lower wage increases than they might otherwise enjoy. The fact that health insurance costs will be larger than net profits of businesses, that fact is beside the point.
Though I have to say, the case of GM, they're sitting there losing a competitive race, Toyota outpacing GM with that great, huge health care cost burden that they carry.
GM and a number of other Rust Belt industries have a particular problem. Okay. It's called the legacy costs,
right,
because they have to pay health insurance for retirees.
But we take your point.
Yeah. So I think it's a terrible annoyance for businesses, and they would like to stick to canning tuna and salmon rather than having to worry about health insurance, because that's what they do. And that's, I think, a sensible attitude on the part of businesses. So it's for that reason that they are getting into the fray, and I say they are very welcome. They have to be around the table. They are major players, and I think they can play a very constructive part. That said, there are a lot of conflicting interests here, alas. The same ones that doomed the Clinton health plan have not vanished from the face of the earth. They're going to reappear when there is a hard-edged plan on the table, and we have to find a way of negotiating out these differences. One of the callers suggested that the Clinton plan had been misrepresented. He was correct. It was in many respects.
We're talking this hour about big business voices now pushing for health care reform in California and across the country. Henry Aaron is with us from the Brookings Institution. Ed Gillespie is with Quinn Gillespie and Associates in Washington. They're helping this big California coalition of Fortune 500-plus firms push reform in the Golden State under Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Jim's calling from Iowa City, Iowa. Jim, you're on the air.
Am I on the air now?
Yes, sir, you are. What do you see?
Well, I see that, like they were saying, apparently, for one of their points of emphasis appears to be preventative care. Well, as someone who has to purchase his own health care or medical insurance, I hate to call it health care, I'm absolutely excluded as any form of preventative care. Pre-existing conditions, an enormous list. Those are things then that remain uncovered. So that makes your health care
not working for you. So you're on the outside looking in, having to do it for yourself.
And the fact is, and this onus is then being put on the individual as the part of this plan. And what's being ignored here is the fact that we spend a great deal more than any of the other advanced countries, and our outcomes, contrary to what the Bumblebee fellow said. Hang on a second, please.
We've got six phones and a radio going here. It's the very modern life. I'm going to just pick it up right there. Henry Aaron, come to you. Jim is pointing at costs, and when you talk about costs of our health care, people very often look at the insurance providers themselves and the bite they take out of it. So when we've got Aetna and Blue Shield of California and Cigna and PacificCare signing on for the movement that Ed Gillespie is representing here, how should people look at that? Is that the health insurance business trying to make sure it continues to get its big chunk of what we spend?
Insurance companies are not responsible for the rising healthcare spending. The principal force is the advance of medical technology. I do want to disagree with one point that the gentleman from Bumblebee said. Healthcare isn't getting worse, it's getting better. There have been a number of very, very careful studies done, all of which have reached the same conclusion, and that is that over the past 30 or 40 years, the value of improved health in the United States, less heart disease and death from it, less infant mortality, is worth as much as all of the economic growth we have enjoyed over that period combined.
That's pretty high concept, but if it's no good if you can't afford it if you don't have it.
That's right, and it also doesn't mean that we're not wasting a lot of money. Mm. You can be doing all right on the average, but wasting an awful lot in doing things that don't make sense, and, as the last caller indicated, not doing some things that do make sense. There's an awful lot of substandard care in the United States. The quality needs to be increased enormously. We're talking about coverage, but one of the most important aspects of healthcare reform is improving the quality of care enjoyed by people who are currently insured. That's a major task.
Let's take a call from Groton, Massachusetts. Bob, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Hi.
What I see here is a lot of cost shifting. I don't see much in the way of cost saving. In fact, if costs are still going up dramatically, this just means that somebody else's cost is going to go up dramatically. I tend to be in favor of a proponent of single-payer system because it seems that one of the major costs in the system is administrative, of basically the insurance companies, and that's a cost that doesn't actually deliver health care. So, we already have a single-payer system in this country. It's called Medicare. Until some recent meddling with the drug program, it's been a pretty good system. So I'd say that one of the things we should look at least is what it would take for Medicare for all.
So let government be the single payer a la the Medicare model. Ed Gillespie, what do you say to that?
I think that would be a mistake. I think we need to maintain the market-based healthcare system and have more transparency and put the consumer in closer contact with the cost of care. That's one of the tenets of the Coalition to Advance Healthcare Reform that my firm represents, and these are the major employers, and I think that that a single-payer system, as we've seen in other countries, likely to lead to rationing, could have an adverse impact on the quality of care that Henry Aaron was just talking about in terms of our healthcare system in the United States. I do think that it's one of the reasons, by the way, I think the insurers are an important component of this debate is we do want to maintain a market-based system and have private insurance available. That's not to say people shouldn't be eligible for Medicaid and government subsidies if they can't afford it. But I think if we could do some things in terms of the tax treatment, do some things in terms of the risk pooling, as Henry Aaron said, the connectors, doing some things that make it easier for people to get group insurance rates and get into to get group health care insurance, we can bring down the cost of care. And, by some estimates, 25 to 40% of the rising health care costs are attributable to waste and a lack of market based incentives. I think that a single-payer system would move us away from that kind of reform.
Bob, I'm not going to let your thought go, but I want to get one more voice in here, if I may, from the opposite coast, from Schwarzenegger's California, in Massachusetts, where there's been a lot going on this front. Robert Blendon joins us right now. He's professor of Health Policy and Management at the Harvard School of Public Health, Director of the Harvard Program of Public Opinion and Health and Social Policy. Professor Blendon, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me, Tom.
First, just your overall response to this noise out of California, Schwarzenegger pushing for this particular program and California big business now pushing along with him. What do you make of that?
Well, if California enacts a bill that really covers most people, it will put it on the presidential agenda in 2008 and will move this country forward for really seriously trying to answer this. Massachusetts and now the California proposal have been essentially the new wave of hope that it's possible to actually reach a political agreement, which has been the issue for more than a decade. Not that everybody agrees there's a problem. There's been a stalemate on how you would even address it. And what was just wonderful to see in Massachusetts is that they agreed to a bill that no one is perfectly happy with, business, a Republican governor, Democratic legislator, but they agreed to a bill, and they're now in the first year of implementing it, and there are problems, but they're moving ahead. And if you are in the state, what surprises you is all the discussion is how we get this done, how we solve the problems, not just what the shape should be for another 15 years of debate.
Right. And is business staying on board even when you get down to the nitty-gritty?
At this stage, the business community is on board. Just an important point where Massachusetts' proposal and actual law is different than being discussed in California. Business in Massachusetts, and we're talking about just those who don't offer insurance,
right,
are only required to contribute $295 per employee per year. That, if you were sort of estimating, that's probably about 3% of the cost of an insurance policy for an employment. In California, they're talking about employers contributing very large share of the contribution in Governor Schwarzenegger. So it's a somewhat different debate.
So who picks up the rest of it in Massachusetts? Is it the individual?
The individual, they describe it as a partnership in the sense that the individual is responsible depending on their income. The state government heavily subsidizes it. And then you have this piece of employer contribution. But basically, the first thing an individual is required to have a plan, and then they're subsidizing it for a family up to $60,000 a year, so it is affordable. So there is a real principle that you do not make people buy insurance if the policy costs would impoverish them.
For families with incomes up to $60,000. Now, Ed Gillespie says single-payer means inefficiency. We want to keep the market in here. But you heard our caller, Bob. He says, what about single payer? He just sees cost shifting here. Ed and Henry Aaron, to some extent, say, well, transparency is going to help you out there. Consumers will be able to see what's going on.
Well, and if we just want to take Massachusetts, Massachusetts is solving, which I think may be a lesson for the country, one part of the problem. Get the 500,000 people who are uninsured covered with a mix of the existing government programs and private policies that are bid out, competitive, on a group rate, that don't have some of the problems of individual sales. Try to solve that problem first, and then look at some of the longer-term cost issues. But if there's a lesson from Massachusetts, it is that you cannot solve, at this time, every single problem. So they really focused on covering the 500,000 uninsured, getting people who purchase their own insurance a better group policy at a better rate with a tax deduction. And that's where the focus is. There are all these issues that your callers have talked about, and this state hasn't addressed them. The sense is get the people enrolled, get the people a group policy at a better price than they would have otherwise, and then go on later on and address some of the other issues which are very important. But if you try to solve them all the same week, the lesson here is we would not have had a piece of legislation.
So, as Henry Aaron says, dive in somewhere. Let's go to Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, and Ronald. Hi, Ronald. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I have a question with regard to this proposed legislation, whether or not it includes any language regarding tort reform. As you might or might not know, that malpractice awards and malpractice insurance contribute a large part to the health care dollar that's passed on to the consumer and to businesses. And with all the other individuals that will be ushered into these insurance or into health care and being paid for, I suspect there's going to be a bump up or an increase in malpractice suits, at least.
Ronald, let us look at that. Ed Gillespie, that's right in your old wheelhouse, is former chairman of the Republican National Committee. This is a big deal for George W. Bush. Are you trying to bite this off in this package here, or is that one of the other things saved for another day?
Well, the caller is exactly right. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that, that malpractice costs alone account for about 2% of health care spending, or over $30 billion a year in costs. The cost of defensive medicine and other issues are important issues. That's not, I think, that is seen as separate from the coalition to advance health care reform. That is not part of the the principles that they're advocating.
Don't try and do it all at once, though. We can hear it's still on your agenda there.
Well, personally, I believe that's an important issue from the coalition's perspective. They're focused on the market-based healthcare system,
right.
Getting everyone covered, but not, again, not through a government-run system.
And maybe kick that can down the road. Let me get a call from Hartford, Connecticut. Larry, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you.
Yes.
I speak as a physician and as well as a consumer of health care, and not only a physician, but a provider of health care, someone who's directly involved in the fray.
Yeah.
And we've heard during your conversation references to market-based systems, to individual responsibility. We won't get things overnight. But it should be said that there are direct and simple solutions that need a direct approaches. And comments should be made once again about the insurance industry as an aspect, an element of the private sector which does not provide a service other than financial intervention in a healthcare transaction.
So are you saying no thank you to market-based healthcare? Insurance companies are some of the big companies on this California list speaking up for this.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Because as you've already pointed out, the insurance companies really want to maintain their piece of the action or the profit quite directly. Now, everyone says that hospitals, providers, consumers need to be treated fairly,
yeah.
And they rail against market basis without saying that there are third solutions between government and market based, which are independent health authorities, whether state or national level, a well-funded authority which has recognized experts, which has issues of quality.
Are you talking about a single payer there, Larry?
Of course, I'm talking about a single payer. But if people are really concerned about so-called government and Medicare, then they can opt for a high-quality board with an independent, well-funded authority, a single payer maintaining quality, a uniform benefit package.
Right. Dr. Larry, our time grows short. Let us take it right there. Henry Aaron, here's that skepticism again about the role the insurance companies have played. We hear again and again about the big overhead there, the chunk they take out right up front. And here's a physician calling in saying he'd like to see the system get away from that. What do you say?
I think that a single-payer approach is certainly a viable one. Medicare works. It doesn't ration. Recently, we have something almost analogous to the British National Health Service in the form of Veterans Administration Medicine, which recently has been praised as providing among the highest quality and lowest cost services in the nation. So that is certainly a viable option. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, it's also an idea that's been on the table for a couple of generations and continues to be a minority position in the U.S. population, which is one of the reasons why I said we have deadlock.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the issue of tort reform is an important one, but not for the reason that the caller suggested. As Mr. Gillespie points out, the estimates indicate that direct costs of malpractice are about 2%. Healthcare spending goes up 4% or 5% a year, so it's not a factor in overall healthcare inflation. But the tort system is a scandal, primarily because more than 90% of the victims of medical negligence never recover a penny, and because the doctors who practice poorly have very few incentives to clean up their acts or get out of business. That's the scandal. That needs attention.
Let me turn this just for another minute here. Ed Gillespie, it's all we've got. Read the politics of this for us. You were with the Republican National Committee. Now you're working with big business that wants this change, but the Chamber of Commerce is not on board, as far as I know, and lots of business, restaurateurs, smaller businesses in particular. How do you read the politics? Can business be the driver nationally for health care reform in the next couple of years here?
Well, it's going to have to be, given that we have an employer-based system today. It's going to have to be part of the debate. There's obviously some nervousness among small businesses, especially because of the fear of an employer mandate, which was probably the central undoing of Hillary Clinton's plan, as well as all the bureaucracy, which I think was made people nervous as well. I think that's why it's so important to emphasize what this coalition is advocating, which is the getting people in through individual responsibility and not putting the onus on a mandate, a government-imposed dictate on small businesses, but making it easier for small businesses to come together for risk pooling and make it easier for individuals to get into a system without mandating it on those smaller employers.
There's the push from business, and it sounds like we're going to hear more of it. Ed Gillespie, representing the Coalition to Advance Healthcare Reform, big business coming out there. Ed, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Henry Aaron at the Brookings Institution and Robert Blendon at the Harvard School of Public Health, thanks to each of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.